listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
Yeah, running down a dream that never would come to me. Running down a dream.
More Major League Baseball talk here on Drive Time Sports. We've got to talk about the NLDS last night, the Chicago Cubs knocking off the San Francisco Giants 6-5, scoring four runs in the top of the ninth inning. That's just not like a Bruce Bochy squad. That just doesn't happen very often. And then the Dodgers, they sneak by the Nats 6-5. Clayton Kershaw gets the no decision last night, gives up five earned runs. The Dodgers got into a little bit of a pickle late, had that game well in control. The Nats made things interesting, and now we get Game 5 tomorrow. Joining us right now to talk about that and all things baseball, we have former big league pitcher. He spent some time with the San Francisco Giants, and now he is an analyst for Comcast Sports in the Bay Area. He is Bill Lasky. Bill, great to get you on again today.
Yeah, disappointing loss. I mean, I was at the game watching it, and the ninth inning, just nothing came the right way. It was just exactly how it 30 blown saves the Giants had in this year, and that just came to fashion again. And, you know, too many pitches over the plate, a couple walks, a couple errors, or one error, and the next thing you know, they got the game. They had the game, and it was pulled right from underneath their feet. But again, the Chicago Cubs, a worthy team, 103 wins for the season, and on they go to the championship series.
I picked the Giants to win this series. I just thought, despite the second half of the season, I look at what the Giants have. I thought they had the best chance out of anyone to actually beat the Cubs, especially in a five-game set. And you and I had talked about Bumgarner and Cueto and Samardzija and the way things were going. Matt Moore pitches last night. He gives eight quality innings, gives up one earned run over eight frames. That ninth inning, was it more of what the Giants did not do or more of what the Cubs did do? Was it a combination? I mean, how do you dissect that as an analyst, Bill?
Well, you know, the whole key was did Moore have any other pitches left? He had 120 pitches in. He had a quick eighth inning. The communication between Bruce Bochy and Moore is questioned today. If he talked to him, if he didn't talk to him. What Matty Moore said is, this might have been my last game. I would have liked to at least gone out there for one hitter. And as we as pitchers know, one hitter might get the first guy out in the line drive out, might get a ground out. You might throw one pitch and get a pop out. Who knows if he would have thrown three pitches or 10 more pitches. At that time, the momentum was on the Giants' side. Once Derek Law got in there in the ninth inning and Brian got the hit, it started changing. Then the walk from Lopez to Rizzo, and then Zobrist's double, and then you could hear a pin drop at AT&T. It was loud. It was orange flags wave and towels were wet. Everybody was excited. And when Zobrist's double hit the ground and he was at second base with a tying run at second, it was a dramatic turn of events at AT&T.
Well, now the winner of the Dodgers and the Nationals, they'll go toe-to-toe with the Cubs on Saturday. I mean, the way things were setting up for the Giants, I know you probably were smiling. I mean, the Dodgers and Nats going into Game 5, Kershaw's not going to be available for Game 1 if the Dodgers get the win. You take a look, Max Scherzer's not going to be available for the Nats if they get the win. Things were setting up. Does this create a clear path for the Cubs to get to the World Series?
It gives them the advantage because they get to set that starting staff up again, and they have ample rest now where Washington and L.A. don't have that. You're giving up, you know, a couple of your best pitchers. Now, you know, they can go home, relax. They have home field advantage. They start the NL Championship Series in Chicago, so there's another advantage they have. You know, it's going their way. Nothing wrong with that. They have a quality team. I just wish I would have loved to see my Giants play them in a fifth game in Chicago and see how much stress and pressure would have been on them and seeing if they could have handled it. But it's not to fashion, and now let's see what Washington and L.A. come about tomorrow in their round five and go head-to-head against Chicago. It should be a good series either way.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, our guest right now is Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher. Now he spends his time as an analyst for the San Francisco Giants. We can take a look at the remainder of the National League, really the only divisional series that we have remaining. It's the Dodgers and the Nats. We know it's going to be Rich Hill going up against Max Scherzer. Obviously, in the From a pitching standpoint, you have to go ahead and give the odds-on favorite here to Max Scherzer right tomorrow night in this contest. All in all, tell me how you see Game 5 shaping up between these two teams.
I go back to that home field advantage, just what exactly what L.A. did when they played there. And the home field advantage is definitely a character builder for your fifth game. You get the last at bat. That's the key to all these series. The team that has that last breath of air, see if they can win it. And at the top of the ninth, to see if your closer can hold it. That's something that this both these teams have great closers, and Melikom and Jensen and both those guys are stellar guys, but you got to get to them to get that opportunity. Offense, both sides have been hitting here and there. So, again, fifth games are just like seventh games in any kind of playoffs. It's who's standing after 27 outs. It's going to be a fun game. Those are the type of games, who's the hero and who's the unsung hero. So I'm anxious to watch it just like you are.
One of the guys, he's the unsung hero for the Dodgers. Let's just painted exactly what it is. A 37-year-old Chase Utley. Obviously, this guy's a former MVP, has played it at MVP level for quite some time. He had two monstrous plays last night, Bill, to close that game out for the Dodgers and force that game five. Things look grim there. I mean, the Dodgers had a major blunder for those who didn't watch that game. They gave up three runs in the seventh inning. Chase Utley has seemed to provide the spark for this Dodger team over the last couple of seasons.
Well, you know, they picked him up a couple years ago, and last year he really didn't have that type of a year like Chase Utley did when he was with Philadelphia. And this year it started off slow. In the second half, he started coming on, and he's that type of player, the unsung experienced player that comes up to bat knowing, you know, the situation he's in and knowing the situation of what the pitcher's got and what he's going to bring at him at that time. And he's a guy that's going to cash in on that, and sure enough, he did yesterday. And this team, the Dodgers, is not going to go away. This last game is going to be a battle. He'll stifle them for a good long time in that other game he pitched, and that'll be another battle for him if he's going to be able to get that off speed in, that big curveball of his, and spotting the ball, and if Washington can hit the off speed. And it took them a while to do it, but they finally got to him. But it's going to be a good matchup, no doubt.
Kershaw threw 110 pitches last night, didn't get the win, no decision, but the Dodgers, the two wins they've had in the series, it's when Clayton Kershaw was the starter. I think he's the best pitcher in baseball. How do you assess the way Kershaw's pitched this postseason?
I think he's right back to normal. I was very, very concerned about when he first came off, and you know, because he had lower back problems and back issues, and now he looks like he's going right through it, strengthened everything, throwing the ball extremely well. Of course, he was upset yesterday. You saw the frustration in the dugout. Just, you know, the timely hits and different things that go, you know, just head-scratcher for Kershaw because the playoffs seem to always bug him somehow, some way. Something happens in a game, and he's just not that zero kind of guy in the playoffs. But I thought he pitched both games very well for him, and to see what he's going to do against the Cubs if it goes the next round should be a battle for him.
You're a former big league pitcher. You mentioned Rich Hill. He didn't get a whole lot of run support in that first game that he pitched against Washington. The Dodgers left bases loaded, I want to say three times in that game. I know two at the beginning of that game for sure. In a game five, is it more important to have the bats working, or is it more about your pitcher and your defense?
You know, if I'm a pitching coach, when I go into a game five or a game seven, I want my pitchers to think outs, not innings. Go out there and get me three outs. If you can establish three outs without giving up a large run, couple, you know, some traffic on the bases, things like that, I want my pitcher's mindset. Give me as many outs as you can give me. If you give me 15, that's five innings. You give me 18, and you build off of that. Same thing with my bullpen. If you're my middle guy, if I'm asking you to get two people out, concentrate on those two guys. Don't worry about anything after that. On the offensive side, try to hit the ball up the middle. The whole complete package of a hitting coach, make contact, push the ball up the middle, and then if you can adjust from there, that's what you want to do. Don't try to be a hero and go up there and try to swing as hard as you can in home run situations. Drive runs, get runs, and then add on. Two big things on the offense and the defensive side and pitching side. It's the defensive side also. Make your plays. Don't try to make, you know, sports center great plays and throw the ball away. If it's a base hit, make it a base hit. Don't make it be a base hit with a throwing error. You know, last night, Crawford, of all things, in that ninth inning on the ball, the bunted back to the pitcher, and he threw to second, and Crawford overthrew it. One of the wildest throws. I've never seen him. Maybe 9 out of 10 times he makes that perfect throw, and yesterday it cost the Giants. That's what you can't have happen in these tight games like in a game five.
We have to talk about the AL here for just a moment. There's so much drama in the National League playoffs and in the two divisional series. We lack that, for the most part, in the American League. I mean, the big story, and this is unfortunate, and I know it's a testament to just how important he really was, but it seemed like David Ortiz playing his last game at Fenway and in a Red Sox uniform overshadowed the fact that the Blue Jays and the Indians had no trouble with their first-round matchups.
Boy, it's right to the point there. Neither team, Texas or Boston, didn't even come close. It didn't even, you know, you were wondering, how did they win so many games during the season? And their three games went by washed. Toronto just came out bat swinging, took the sting right out of the Texas fans the first two games, and then finished it in Toronto, where Cleveland took two in Cleveland with two great games, two bullpen games. Terry Francona really managed very well those first two games. And then they held a lead in Boston. And I was really surprised that the Boston hitters didn't hit that well in this whole series. I really thought they had a strong enough lineup to score more runs and get the lead, but they never had a chance to. And two good series. Now you got Toronto-Cleveland. That's going to be a good belly scratcher, because you're not going to know which way to go, because one team's going to hit you real well, because Toronto swings the heavy bats and Cleveland, it seems like they're always got runs and a couple runs here, a couple hits here. They're scattering hits and making things happen, and great bullpen. Cleveland, I think, has got the edge. I really do.
You know, the thing with Toronto, they're averaging 7.5 runs right now in the postseason through those three wins over Texas. This is a team, they've got to score in volume if they have a chance of winning the World Series. Is 7.5 runs, 7 runs per game, is that enough for Toronto to beat Cleveland?
If they can get there, because Cleveland's got a shutdown bullpen. I think Cleveland's got one of the better bullpens in American League, and you don't hear their names that often. Don't forget they picked up Miller from the Yankees, one of the great left-handed pitchers, and great steal, great trade, good move by Cleveland Indians. It's paying them off. So, you know, I just think pitching's going to knock that 7 runs down. If Toronto continues to hit the ball like they can, and they're home run hitters, and they got a tremendous lineup, it could be a 7-6 ball game. It could be a 2-1 ball game, because I really believe both ways, pitching and hitting will even out.
Last question before I let you go, Bill. We'll keep it here with the American League. You obviously being associated with the San Francisco Giants, Bruce Bochy, Hall of Fame manager, one of the best in the game. If Terry Francona was able to get the Cleveland Indians to the World Series, I don't even know that they necessarily have to win it, but based on what he accomplished in Boston, is there a more complete manager in Major League Baseball outside of Terry Francona?
Yeah, Terry's got to be up there. The great years he was with Boston, many, many good years there, and just the family from his father being in baseball for so many years. And Terry was a teammate of mine back in Montreal when I was up there for a few months. Very knowledgeable guy, very analytic guy. He looks at every possibility of any, you know, matchups he can get to, and got a great coaching staff with him, and it's paid off. And the Indians are an unsung hero team. You don't hear too much about them. And that's what's great about the Indians. If it could be the Indians and the Cubs, boy, tell you about two traditional teams looking to win a World Series, that'd be a great, great series.
Yeah, it's almost like a movie. Like, honestly, I thought the only way we would ever see the Cubs and the Indians in the World Series would be on a movie, Major League 5 or something like that. That's it.
It could be, but again, you know, when you're looking at how many years these guys have not won the World Series, and you know, the Cubs from 1908, I mean, you're talking many, many traditional players going through eras of baseball, and even the Tribe, how many years they haven't won it. So it's cool for baseball. It's a great fan audience participation, more or less watching these games, getting to know some of these new players, and hopefully it'll happen. And if it doesn't happen in Toronto and Washington, or Toronto and L.A. gets in, it's still going to be, it's good baseball this time of the year. And you know, you're looking at the weather across the nation, the weather's turning brown in the east, and the leaves turning brown, but yet the weather's still crisp and good weather for baseball. So hopefully this will continue tomorrow, L.A., Washington, and then the championship series starts next week, this coming weekend and next week, and we'll all know who's in the World Series in about 7 days to 10.
Right, right. Well, Bill, it's always fun to talk baseball with you. Thank you again for the time. Hopefully we can catch up again next week.
That'd be great. I'm here, and I got a lot of time on my hands now, as you know.
Right. Yeah.
The Giants aren't in it, so by here, I got to do some cleanup work today on Comcast, and I got the press conference tomorrow, and see what their thoughts are moving into 2017. But the nucleus will still be there, and the Giants will rise again.
Sure, absolutely. Bill, thank you. We'll catch up again with you soon.
Okay, thanks for including me. Appreciate it.
As always, great to get Bill Lasky on the show. We'll pause for just another moment. When we return, we'll put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports.